In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. I figured I'd start out today's little sermonette with two stories I read today in my morning meditation from an author of a priest's book of meditations, Angrisani. And he says in the first story he writes, "From the time the great pilgrimages began, the saintly Curé d'Ars used to spend from 11 to 13 hours in the confessional during the winter, and from 15 to 16 during the summer. In order to find time for everything, and first of all for his practices of piety, he used to get up at midnight or 1 o'clock and kneel in prayer before the Blessed Sacrament or recite his breviary. How beautiful and edifying it was," writes a contemporary, "to see by the pale light of his candle this figure so worn out by penance and mortification, praying with such recollection and glancing every now and then towards the tabernacle with a smile so sweet that it seemed he saw our Lord." And then he goes on to tell a second story. An old parish priest who has charge of a small parish of some 200 souls told me one day what happened the day he took possession of his parish. "Many of my friends and many people from the parish where I had been assistant had come to accompany me. When evening came, they all went away, and I remained alone. Then I went over to my little church, knelt before the tabernacle, and said confidentially to the Lord, 'Well, O Lord, what do we do now?' And I seemed to hear his voice answering me, 'Do you see? Up to today, you have had so many friends and have not had time to think of me. Now you'll be forced to remember me, to stay and talk to me.' And the old priest, repeating these last words with tears in his eyes, concluded, 'From that day, we have always been good friends.'" This is sort of what today's gospel should remind us of. "I will be with you even to the consummation of the world." These words can be applied really and truthfully to the Blessed Sacrament. He ascended into heaven after his resurrection, but he would not leave us orphans. He would remain here himself. But there's more. In today's gospel, our Lord commands the apostles to come to Galilee. Where? To a certain mountain that he had designated. And there, the apostles came out of humble obedience. And our Lord, too, he held up his end of the bargain. He came as well. And it says, and seeing them on top of the mountain, and seeing him, they adored. They recognized our Lord as the same Jesus with whom they had lived for so many years. They saw that same Jesus who was rejected by the Jews and put to death. But now they see him risen. And now it says, and we know, he lives. Today's gospel then ought to, on this account as well, to remind us of the Holy Eucharist. Have you ever noticed that all of the mysteries of the Holy Rosary seem to come to light in the tabernacle, in one way or another? The Incarnation is in the Holy Eucharist. Mary said her five words on the day of the Annunciation. "Fiat mihi, secundum verbum tuum." Be it done unto me according to thy word. The priest also says, "Hoc est enim corpus meum." For this is my body. And at that moment, the word is made flesh. Bread is changed into the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then when the priest lifts him up and then brings him down, he sets him on the white cloth, the corporal, just as in Bethlehem, our Lord was wrapped in swaddling clothes. Bethlehem is in the Mass. And then, of course, you turn to the sorrowful mysteries, and what else is the Mass than the sacrifice of Calvary and the crucifixion of our God? He died so that we might live. But the Mass, too, The Holy Eucharist has also a bit of the glorious mysteries in it, doesn't it? That is, the Eucharist is a pledge. It is our Lord's pledge to us of a future resurrection. What a beautiful thought. What does he say? He says in one of the books of the scripture, "He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood has life everlasting, and I will raise him up on the last day." There's our pledge. And if we partake of this sacred banquet worthily and devoutly, we will have our pledge and our future resurrection. What a beautiful thought, too, this Easter season. We're so caught up in our Lord's glorious life, his resurrection. But we should also turn to our own. Each one of us, we have a sad thought. No one here is going to escape death. Not even the littlest of you will escape death. Sometimes it's a little bit of a depressing thought, sad and a bit scary. But it won't be long after that, and then all the bodies of the dead will rise, and they will be joined once again to their souls, and they will live, if we've lived faithfully here on earth, they will live forever in the glory of paradise. So, my dear faithful, today, let's think of the mountain, the altar. It is truly on the mountain of Calvary. You might even say today, it's the mountain of Galilee. And here our risen Lord appears to us. And here, falling down, we'll adore him just as the apostles did in the gospel of today. But let us ask him for this grace today, the grace of a glorious resurrection one day at the end of our life, so that we may enjoy all of the qualities of a glorified body that we should enjoy and are destined to enjoy for all eternity. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.